Good day and welcome to the Business Success Network podcast. I'm Stacey Calder, founder of the Business Success Network and magazine, and we help you to grow you and grow your business. We want to get you as visible as possible online, offline, and through events such as networking, awards, and conferences. If you're sitting here and listening to this and thinking this is a great show, we are looking for guests to be part of it. We want to hear your story and we want to share your information with the public. We want you to be as visible as possible. So join us over at the Business Success Network UK on Facebook, join the community, get the support, become a cheerleader for other small businesses, and we'll see you very soon.
Hi everyone and welcome back to the Business Success Network podcast with charities. I'm your host on my own today, Dom Fenton, the Activity Connector, and we have another guest. Hi Alex, how are you?
Hi Dom, how are you doing?
Yeah, very good. Yourself?
Yes, very good. Glad it's Friday.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that one today, if I'm honest. So, Alex, why don't you tell the viewers and the listeners a little bit more about yourself and what you do?
So, my name's Alex. I'm managing director of a company called Fit Media. And what we do is we evaluate the impact of charitable projects on the children that they work with, specifically on their health and fitness. So, for example, if you've got a sport or physical activity charity that runs a program for the children, we can show you exactly whether or not that program is making the children fitter, happier, healthier, stronger, and so on.
And to be fair, at the moment, obviously around child obesity and everything else, and these other elements that are going on, that's really important to be able to evaluate the impact of what these programs do, isn't it?
I think there's lots of levels on which people generally, and particularly our sector, are starting to realise how important impact evaluation is. I think children's health, as you say, both in terms of things like obesity and also in terms of their mental health after things like the effect of the pandemic, that's very much at the forefront of people's minds. I think the sports and physical activity sector as a whole is starting to realise how important evaluation is. You can see that in the latest DCMS strategies, the latest Sport England strategies. Even in Parliament about a year ago, the lack of evaluation in our sector and the importance of doing it was highlighted by the Public Accounts Committee. And then I think charities and small organisations themselves are starting to realise how important it is, both in terms of giving information to them about what about their projects works really well, what doesn't work, what kids enjoy, what they don't enjoy, but also for their projection of their work to the wider world, to funders, to administrators, to trustees, to key stakeholders. They can actually go to them and say, look, we know it's a great project. Here is hardcore proof. Here are the numbers, here are the graphs, here's the data. And so I think across a lot of levels, people are starting to realise why it matters and really just how it can help.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to do, we're going to delve into a little bit of that a little bit later. So, Alex, before we go into too much, why don't you just talk about yourself a little bit, how you got into what you're doing, how long have you been involved with charities and other sort of organisations like that?
So my route into where we are now was slightly circuitous and a bit unusual. I actually started life as a sport and media lawyer way, way back, and I thought that was going to be my path. But for the Sydney 2000 Olympics, I was actually seconded from my law firm to the British Olympic Association to work on the legal aspects of sending our team to Sydney. And I absolutely loved it. And I realised that though I was a sport and media lawyer, I really liked the sport bit, but not so much the law. So I left the law, got my first job in sport at a company called Sports Match, which you might remember, which was a tiny government agency which matched commercial sponsorship funding with government grants. So for example, if you were a small rugby club, you got £5,000 from a local business, we would match that for another £5,000. That was amazing. It was my first job in sport. It gave me such a good grounding into community grassroots sports, government funding, commercial sponsorship, and just the sort of wide variety of programs and organizations that are out there that no one knows about, that are doing great work, but sort of under the radar. Unfortunately, I love that job, but unfortunately, we got taken over by Sport England and they had other plans for us, unfortunately. So I then went to work for PMP Consulting, which was a large strategic consultancy firm for the sector. We did things like the Olympic Legacy and so on. And then after that, I struck out on my own. I met up with someone who explained that they had been working with two academics from the University of Essex on monitoring and assessing children's fitness. They had done a huge project in the east of England with 30,000 children, measuring all aspects of their fitness, cardio fitness, strength, endurance, agility, speed. And what they found was a lot of the schools they'd worked with in the research project had liked it so much, they said, can we just do this normally every day as a business? Obviously, that was difficult for the academics. So myself and my colleague came in and we set up the business around that. And what we've discovered is there is a huge appetite for anyone working with children, whether they're schools, coaches, PE leads, PE coordinators, school sports partnerships, to get more detail on their children's health, how fit they are, how physically literate they are, have they got fundamental movement skills? And that data is really lacking out there. And people are slowly starting to realize that the more information they have, if they have that kind of data, it will give them a better offer to the children. It makes the children enjoy it more. It engages everyone much more. You can see the results, you can measure it, you can improve it. And it's also just quite fun for everyone. So that's how I ended up here.
That's a hell of a journey.
It is. I think there would be easier ways to do it, but obviously I had to do it the hard way.
Yeah, quite possibly. But you're here now, and that's what actually these things are about. So in terms of, obviously, a lot of what you do is around sport and physical activity, but also I know that there was a new part of what you were looking at is around mental well-being of the children. And I think actually this could be really important, because what I think is actually some of this now doesn't only necessarily lead itself to activity providers and sport and that side of it, but actually that some of that monitoring that you're talking about actually can impact any charity. It doesn't have to be a sports program. But actually now the monitoring you're doing, especially with the health and the well-being of the children, the mental health side of it, actually that could be brought into any single charity, couldn't it?
Absolutely. And I mean, I think as awareness around and also concern for children's mental health grows, in fact, all of our mental health, we've actually had interest from all sorts of organisations, as you say, not just sport and physical activity ones. Because I think the more I've done this job, across a variety of areas, size of big charities, small charities, community organisations, national organisations, sports charities, organisations that don't do sports at all. Fundamentally, everyone is aiming for the same thing, which is a healthy and happy population of children. Mm. How you get to that is almost less relevant, really, because whether you're running a knitting club or whether you're running a football club, essentially, what you're providing for people is the same thing. It's a sense of community. It's an activity. It's the chance to connect with people who like the same thing as you. It's a way out of social isolation. It opens up other avenues, whether personal, professional, or social. And correspondingly, the outcomes are the same. A more connected community, healthier, more social people, more confidence, more resilience, more general well-being, more interest in hobbies, greater confidence to go out and try new things. And so you're right. Essentially, the framework for what we're doing is applicable across all sorts of organisations in the same way that all of those organisations are essentially producing at a very fundamental level the same outcomes.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. And that's a lot within our industry and other industries. What we tend to say is the activity is just a vehicle to get where we want to get to.
Yes.
Whether that's the children, whether that's the adults, whether that's coaches, actually, the sport, the music, the arts, whatever it, or the, whichever other creative activities there are, actually, these are a tool to get the child in the right path.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's one of the things I really loved about Sports Match. And one of the things I love about what we do now is just the huge variety of things you see out there. Because I think the starting point with people, whether children or adults or seniors, is there is no one size fits all. Everyone's different. So everyone responds to different things. Everyone likes different things. So what you want to do is make sure that there's as much of a wide variety of both offer and how that offer is positioned and presented, whether it's, for example, a weekly club on Saturday mornings or whether it's an evening club on Thursdays by Zoom only. If you give people a variety of offer and mechanism, you will basically touch many more people. Mm. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what it's about, which is basically making people's lives better.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So, obviously, what we're trying to do with this podcast is look at how businesses can support charities. That's fundamentally what we're looking at, is trying to look at giving some top tips and other things around that. So, Alex, in your view, how can businesses work with charities? And it may be your business, it may be other businesses. How do you see that businesses can work or support charities?
So I think in the same way, there's a sort of multiplicity of offers. I think there's many different ways. I think the first and most obvious way is just the sort of local support. So, for example, if you've got a local solicitor or an accountant, correspondingly just down the road from them, there's a local charity working with children. It's just that support, whether it's commercial support. So, for example, we will give you £5,000. Whether it's in-house support, say you may need a hand with your accounts or you may need a hand with your contracts or whatever. I think the second, and then, of course, is the personnel support. It's like, we'd love to help you. We can't necessarily give you any cash, but we can lend you someone who can help out every Saturday morning for half an hour. I think the second way is businesses like us who actually are providing services directly to charity to help them. Because I think one of the best parts of my day always is when we've completed an evaluation for a charity and we give it to them and we show them and they see the numbers. And it's amazing because they know they're doing good work, but they've never seen it before in like literally hard data. And it's like, here's a graph. This is where your children started. This is where they are now. And it's a really moving moment because they can suddenly see in hard numbers in writing their worth. And then suddenly they know that they can share it to someone else. So to funders, to stakeholders and so on. So I think that's the kind of services we can provide. And I think that's the thing is that the second way that businesses can support charities is just by providing services to them. I think the third thing I'd say is it's not a one-way relationship, because most businesses I know who've supported charities have actually got a huge amount back, whether it's through personnel who've actually loved what they've been doing, whether it's through the community exposure from the support they've been given, or whether it's just, for example, if you're an accountant and you offer to do someone's accounts for free. It is amazing, correspondingly, what paid work that can lead to. Because everyone's human at the end of the day. And if you're a trustee of a charity and you go, gosh, this chap's just done a marvellous job with our annual accounts for no reason at all. And then you go, oh, God, I've got to do my tax return in 2 weeks. Where are you going to go? So I think businesses can help charities, but I think it's very much a two-way street. And every business I know who's got involved with a charity has almost felt they've got more back than they've given, if that makes sense.
Hi, my name is Chris. I am the Chief Monkey from Scruffy Monkey. We are a web design business based in Bolton. We offer web design and support packages with a particular niche on charities. We have over 200 clients throughout the UK, 40 plus of which are charities. We've been working with them for 9+ years now, and we really get what you guys are about. So we'd love to help you out. So please do get in touch. We also offer free web design audits where we'll just do a quick video recording of your website, what you can change, what you can adapt to help you tell your stories further. Feel free to connect with us on any social media channels at ScruffyMonkeyDM, or check out our website, of course, at www.scruffymonkey.co.uk.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, because actually there might be businesses listening to this and they actually have no idea what they can offer.
Yeah.
And I'm very much a believer in just go and talk to them. Just go and say, look, we'd be really interested. Can't guarantee you money, but actually, is there something that we can help with?
Yes, and I think one of the things that the pandemic showed was that there is still sort of almost hidden, dormant, a huge sense of community in many of our local areas. So during the pandemic, it was shown by people sort of doing their neighbours' shopping because they couldn't go out, or other sort of tiny examples like that. And, you know, it's been a rough few years for everyone. And I think the sort of overwhelming narrative is, you know, there is no sense of community anymore, and there's no such thing as society, and it's very much individual. And I don't think that's true. I think there is a huge sense of community. And I think most people want to take part in that. Mm. I think they want to support their local businesses. It's fun. It's sociable. It helps, you know, it makes you feel really good. It provides opportunities, pathways and everything. So I think you're right. I think a lot of businesses maybe may not be doing it just because they're not aware of what they can do, and they're not aware of just basically how much fun it can be apart from anything else.
Yeah,
I've never met anyone who got involved in a charity who didn't actually find it at the end of the day enormous fun. Hard work a lot of the time. A lot of people I know sit on sort of committees for charities, unpaid and everything, and obviously the bigger the charity, the more challenging it is. You've got big questions to ask. But then correspondingly, that's not like the funnest part. That's not like, you know, sort of messing around on a Saturday morning at a tennis club. But again, it's really fun. You meet incredibly interesting people, and it challenges you, opens up opportunities and stretches you to suddenly go, I didn't know that I had that skill to work that out, but actually we've worked that out for the charity and that's great.
Yeah, and I think actually there's nothing, as someone who works for a charity, who's someone who's volunteered for charities, there's nothing better than just being able to go and give some time, or even see the impact it has on sponsors who come down or other organisations who want to volunteer, just to see what is actually what goes on and the impact it has on them.
I completely agree. I think if at one level, and I agree this is maybe a bit philosophical for a Friday morning, but at one level, if you think life is the search for meaning, then I think a lot of people who are just doing the 9 to 5, they're doing their job, they're going home, you know, they're seeing their kids, they're getting their car through the MOT, they're going on a holiday, but there is something missing. And I think a lot of that charitable work, suddenly it gives you a meaning in your life that you didn't have before.
Yeah, and I think that's really, and actually the meaning's really important.
So we used to do a lot of work with a huge commercial building company, huge nationwide, built leisure centres and all sorts of things. But they always had a huge community sponsorship arm. And I remember going to a dinner and the chairman stood up and he said, we're often asked why we do so much charity work, because obviously they could not do it and it could add to the bottom line. But he said, the reason we do it is because we're a family firm founded 250 years ago, still run by the family. And he said, our motto is purpose beyond profit. And that dinner that I saw him say that at was about 10 years ago, and I've never forgotten it. Because at the end of the day, why are you really in business? You can be in business for money only, but that will only take you so far, and it probably won't give you the meaning you're looking for. And there's no reason you can't do both.
Yeah, no, completely agree. It's really powerful, and that is really powerful for a Friday as well. An end of a week chat, and that's really powerful. So, in terms of the business at the moment, what are your future plans? Where are you looking to go with your business at the moment?
The work we've done with charities so far has been amazing. And I think it probably, just going back to what I said before, it has given us both. We've done good work and we've loved it, but also it's provided a whole different level of meaning for what we do, because I think it makes you remember how transformative it can be when you show people the data, when you show people evidence of what they've done. I mean, it's an organisational level. Like I said, I think people can suddenly see in hard numbers how good they are. And you can see them at the same time thinking, this is amazing. We can go to our funders. We can put this out on social media. And their entire demeanour suddenly changes because you think they could potentially change the direction of the charity with this. You can see how transformative it is for individuals as well. You know, if you're just testing kids, you've got kids who may be doing physical activity. They may not be great. They may not have ever been very good at PE. They may have been picked last in every team at school, like I always was. But, you know, you can run a physical test on them. You can give them a hand grip test. And they can suddenly discover, although they may be a bit heavier, maybe less good at running, they're the strongest in the class. Suddenly, they've got an aspect of PE they are really good at that they never knew about. You can see their entire demeanour change. They're looking around at all these people who are better at football than them, and they're going, yeah, but I'm stronger than you. I pulled double the amount on the hand grip. And you can see the other kids looking at them differently. So that sort of transformative moment is easily the best part of our day. And I think we'd just like to do more of it. And I think we'd like to do certainly more of it for charities, big and small. In fact, actually, in a way, we prefer working for small charities because, again, from my time at Small Dispatch, you realise that, you know, you could give £1 million to Oxfam, but actually giving £2,000 to your local rugby club can make as big, if not bigger, difference to your local community. And I think also the smaller charities are the ones that often need the support most. They're not nationwide charities. They don't have a direct line to a government minister or a senior civil servant. They're doing incredibly good work. They're flying under the radar. They haven't got much profile. So they're the ones who basically, if we can say, look, if you let us, we can give you a quick evaluation that will give you evidence to go to your funders and say, see how much we improved the resilience, self-esteem of our children. See how much their agility improved. See how much their fitness improved. See how much the girls gained in more confidence over the space of 6 weeks.
Yeah.
We can give that to these charities and it can make a huge difference to them.
No, I think that's incredible. And obviously, from working with charities as you do at the moment, where do you see the charity sector going? Do you see that there's going to be some struggle, or what do you see the struggles are for them at the moment? Where do we think we're going? Because we talk a lot about this anyway, don't we?
Yeah, I think, interestingly, I think at a sort of national level, charities are going to become more and more important as public services recede. Mm-hmm. And you can see that, not obviously out loud, but you can see the government thinking, we can't afford to provide this, so we just hope the charity sector steps in. Mm-hmm. So I think at that level, charities are going to become much, much more important. I think the problems for them are obviously it's always about funding.
Yeah.
Although I think people still want to give. I mean, the data on charitable donations during the pandemic was astonishing. So people still want to give. I think the challenge is, obviously, it's going to become more competitive for charities. I think that's where they're going to need an edge in terms of proving their impact.
Yeah.
I think also, again, with charities, finding and retaining good staff is always a problem. And again, I think anything you can do to make your staff, in the same way you want to make your donors feel valued so they stay, you want to make your staff, whether they're paid or volunteers, you want to make them feel valued. You want to give them as much ownership as possible. You want to engage them in the process. Again, you want to make them feel they're doing something really meaningful and you really value them so they stay, because the turnover of volunteers in small charities is very difficult. So I think the opportunities are out there, but I think charities are certainly going to have to work harder in order to achieve everything they want to achieve and also pick up the slack from what they're being expected to do from the sort of decline of public services.
Yeah, and I think as well, and we've mentioned this on a previous podcast, that actually they're, because of funding, because of the amount of charities, you know, I talk a lot about collaborating, but actually, yep, hopefully what we will start to see is more and more charities looking at how they can work with other local charities.
Yeah.
And obviously then you're able to, it's a stronger bid in some ways then for definitely funding, but also then, you know, if they need evaluation, if they need monitoring, then obviously we've got you sitting there going, well, actually we can come and do that.
Well, that's the thing. And I think also it's a very good point, because you and I have spoken before about the importance of connection, whether at individual level, at human level, at local level, or at national level. And I think you're right, charities can work together very powerfully because they often complement each other.
Yeah.
No one wants to reinvent the wheel and no one's got resources to waste. So actually you sort of think, well, actually there are real efficiencies here if you take this side and we take this side. And again, the better data you have coming out of that, the more you'll then be able to link up further and further. So I agree, I think connection and collaboration, I mean, you and I again have spoken about the lack of collaboration in the sports sector,
yeah,
and how much it harms the sports sector. And I think it's really important for the charities to make sure they don't make that mistake.
Yeah, and as I say, you know, I've always been a big believer that actually collaboration will always work better over rather than sort of competition. Actually, if we can work together, we can bring resources together, then actually, you know, let's look at what we can do and let's look at what support we can put in place for other groups, other organisations, and we can really support each other.
Definitely. And I think, because I think you're right, I think the mistake the sports sector has always made is thinking they're in competition with each other. And of course, they're not. You know, I think it's very easy for the RFU and the FA to go, oh, we're competing for the same people. It's like, no, you're not. You're really not.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. It would be a danger for the charities, especially small local charities, to make that mistake.
Yeah.
I think everyone is always stronger together. And isolation very rarely makes you stronger. Most of the time, it makes you weaker.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Right, we're nearing the end. So if you could give a top tip to a charity listening to this now, what would you say? What would be your top tip? A business wanting to work with a charity, because this is really what this is about, these podcasts.
I tell you what, a tip was given to me the other day, which I thought was brilliant because it was an avenue I had never thought about. Go to your local Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
I know that sounds a really odd thing to say, because I think for our generation and below, local chambers of commerce seem very old-fashioned. And you sort of think, but aren't they like Rotary Clubs? Aren't they lots of just white men sitting around? What's going on? But actually, they're not. They're really interesting, vibrant places where you've got a lot of local businesses. Again, all of whom are coming together because, again, they're trying to do the same thing together. Mm. And they're looking for new opportunities and new pathways. And they're also, I think, again, people thought that they struggled after the pandemic. Again, they're very resilient. They're still out there. A lot of them are looking to connect. A lot of them looking to grow. And it's as good a starting point as any if you're a charity and you want to find out what businesses in your area are out there, what types they are, what networks they've got, how to connect with them. It's as good a starting point as any others. So that's what I would say, is go to your local Chamber of Commerce.
And the thing is, that could be a business, that could be a charity. Actually, anyone can go to the Chambers of Commerce, can't they?
Anyone. And they always welcome visitors. And it's always surprising how much local knowledge they've got.
They're
like the sort of blue whale. They're sort of going under the surface. No one knows what they are and no one really thinks about them, but they are huge and very important to our ecosystem.
And I think it's really key, because actually there might be a charity leader watching this, or a business who's not sure what they're doing or what direction. Reach out.
Yeah.
Reach out to other people, because I guaranteed in the last podcast as well, so I have to stop guaranteeing things, but I can guarantee that there'll be other people feeling exactly how you are.
Without question. Absolutely, without question. And I think people always want to connect, always, but they are always scared of making the first move.
And again, anyone listening to this, if you know a business that's struggling, or they want to know how to get involved in charities, or you know a charity leader, take their hand.
Yeah.
I always use this when we talk about children, young people, or even adults joining a new sports club. If you know someone who wants to go and do something, take their hand and take them.
Yeah.
Because actually, it's a lot less daunting if you go with someone.
Hugely. And I remember you and I years ago having a conversation about, if you're trying to encourage someone to go to a local rugby club, don't just say turn up on... No one's going to turn up at 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning where they don't know anyone. It's like, go with them, introduce them. Because I think at the end of the day, thing is about people.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you make fighter jets or if you make buns. It doesn't matter if you are the largest corporation in the world or if you're your local solicitor's firm and you've only got a turnover of 3 clients. Everything is about people, and people want to connect.
Yeah, amazing. Alex, it's been brilliant. As always, for people who want to get in contact with you, where can they find you? What social media? What online? So, where can they find you?
We are on Twitter at Fit Media Fitness. We are on Instagram, also at Fit Media Fitness. You can email me direct, alex@fitmediafitness.co.uk. I'll send you my contact details and you can put them in the show notes.
Yeah.
But yes, we're available. So just give me a ring, get in touch with us anytime. DM through Twitter, email, phone, anything. We'll be there. Or if I'm not there, I'll be walking the dog. So I will be there shortly.
The young dog tried to make a little announcement earlier, didn't they?
Yes, I'm so sorry about that. I was very clear with him. I said absolutely no barking. But he just did not let.
Did well, though.
He managed 20 minutes before telling me.
Yeah, he did well. No, it did really well.
If your marvellous editor has got some sound engineering technology to take out the sort of noises off, that would be great.
Yeah, and this conversation, everyone will now listen to this going, what were they talking about? I don't know. We didn't hear
it. They'll just be like, what kind of dog she got? How noisy is he? God, he must be massive.
Alex, thank you so much for your time.
No, not at all. That was great fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, either on watching it or listening in. I'm the host, John Fenton. This is the Business Success Network, and we will see you soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.
So, you've been listening to the Business Success Network podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Please do go and check out all the other episodes that we offer. We've got a great range of guests that have gone before us and that are coming up. And if you want to get involved in the Business Success Network, you can find us at www.businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. There's loads of ways you can get involved, whether that's from contributing to our business magazine or whether that's getting involved in the podcast. We are here to showcase your expertise and help you to grow you and grow your business.